I find it amazing, of all the things I could buy this Christmas and all the things that we get caught up in, it's amazing someone takes trash and turns it into one of the best gifts ever. I mean, that blessed you, didn't it? A garbage fill in Paraguay just blessed you this morning in Michigan. I find God to be an amazing God. I find Him to be a God that can find a blessing without you even looking for it. I have searched to find box number two, to have something in here that would change your life. I believe what's in here can change your life. We had box number one last week, and I had Pandora's box, and at the bottom of that box, when Pandora opened it up, you know, all kinds of evil and sickness and all the evil and death that entered into the world according to Greek mythology. But at the bottom of that, we learned was hope. And it sounded like a familiar story, didn't it? Even though Eve had opened up all kinds of can of worms eating that apple, Jesus Christ brought us hope. And so in this box, I thought about this, and I thought, maybe I should just give you guys a box this morning. I remember when my boys were really small, we were living in a parsonage, and I remember one Christmas we were blessed, and I went out, and I thought, I'm going to be the best dad in the whole wide world. I'm going to get them toys that they're going to think, Dad, forever, we're just going to think you're the greatest in the world. I remember RCs and Legos and a big wheel. We had it all boxed up and ready to go. And that Christmas day, they tore into it, and they got it, and they opened it. Wow, this is the best. And they grabbed everything, and downstairs they went into the basement. And they were down there playing, and I'm upstairs feeling pretty good about myself, thinking I'm the best dad in the whole wide world. I'm going to go down and see what the kids are doing who have the greatest dad in the world. They must be just enjoying those toys. I went down there, and there sat the big wheel, there sat the Legos, there sat all the toys. And I heard my boys screaming and having the best time in the world, and I thought, what's going on? And in those giant boxes I'd given them, they had taken and built the largest fort community town in the world. And they were inside of there playing with their boxes and not with one single toy. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. And I heard my son, my oldest son, Dad, come on in. And he had built an A-frame church out of one of his boxes. And he had the front doors there, and inside he had a little pulpit and a little Bible. He said, Dad, come on in. I'm about to preach. Come on into church. I remember opening those little doors and looking in, thinking, okay, I just got to find a seat. And I made my way into that little box, and his brother was in there, and outside the back, it went through a little tunnel box and over to the parsonage, and they had another house over there. And the boys were in there and having the best time. And I got in there, and I sat in that little box church, and my son preached his little heart out. And I sat in there thinking, I'm so blessed, and it has nothing to do with what I put in the box. I could have just done that. And so for years now, my children get boxes. They're 25 years old. Guess what they're getting this year? Boxes. Because somehow we do everything we can to try to make them happy. You know, Christmas, sometimes we feel guilty because we have to buy just the right gift, don't we? If we don't find the right thing, and me, I've never shopped so early. This is the first year we've ever done Christmas early. Because with my daughter leaving, we're doing that this afternoon. And so I've been out shopping, and it amazes me. I didn't know there were that many crazy people out shopping this early. I went to the mall yesterday. Wow, I'm not used to that. I'm used to Christmas early Eve going to the mall and walking through Target. And I'm the kind of dad and guy that gets in the line, and I'm still looking at all the stuff they stack. They're going, oh, that would be nice. That's great. Oh, I searched everywhere for this thing. I mean, I don't know what to get. I mean, you buy stuff for people, and guess what? In a year from now, you're doing it again. And it just seems like the cycle goes on and on and on. And our hearts, if we could just give something that will change their life. And so this morning, I have it in this box. In fact, I have something in this box that many of you may even, starting today, say, I'm going to give that away. I'm going to do that this year. Something that's in this box is very meaningful. There were three wise men who showed up and found the baby Jesus. Actually found him as a child. They looked for 2 years. They followed a star, and they found him in a house. And when they got there, their entourage, imagine 2 years, how many camels these three kings had when they brought their gifts to Jesus. They've been traveling for, we know, at least 2 years, because it says in Matthew 2, they found, and when they found the child, weos in Greek, which means he's an infant or a toddler age, about 2 is what that word's used for. When they found the child in the house, they bowed down, they worshiped him, and they laid gifts at his feet. They gave him some gold, they gave him some incense, and they gave him some myrrh. Now, those are interesting gifts, but imagine how much they gave him. These camels were packed down, each of these kings from Persia and Iraq and Turkey. They came along, and they gave him all these gifts. What an incredible moment that must have been. I mean, to lay their treasures and present him with these gifts. And they laid them down. And I don't imagine it was a small portion, because you don't travel for 2 years as a king to bring a gift to another king that you value greater than yourself. I would imagine there were pounds and pounds and pounds of gold on camel after camel after camel. What do you think took care of Jesus when his dad died and his mother's living in Egypt for 12 years? They had all the money they needed to take care of their housing and their food in a foreign land. A lot of people don't think about this story, but there's a real family here. There's real bills going on. And so I found some gifts this morning. I found some gifts. Because these magi, these kings, came and they laid down their gifts. And the first gift this morning I'd like to give to you is this. It's an orange. How many of you have ever gotten oranges in your stockings? Really? Look at that. Do you know why? I asked my mom. She said, oh, yeah, every year we'd get these because they taste good. I said, really? Well, yeah, because you should eat fruit at Christmas. I said, Mom, you got oranges all those years. You didn't know. I asked somebody else, and they said, well, yeah, we get oranges. Oh, yeah, we got oranges growing up all the time. My mom didn't pass this on. I had no idea. I had to look this up because so many people got oranges. I'm like, were you bad for Christmas? You got an orange in your stocking? No, somebody said, well, it's wintertime, so you get an orange to show the freshness, the ripeness. That's not it either. See, there was this guy by the name of Nick, and Nick was a priest. Nick lived around 300 A.D. Nick was a priest in Turkey, not far from where one of these kings lived. And he went to see this other bishop from Africa, and this other bishop from Africa wasn't so good. He said, yeah, we believe in Jesus. Now, this guy's a pastor, okay? He says, we believe in Jesus. But we only believe that Jesus was a spirit, an apparition. He was a ghost. He never really came and was born in a manger. It only appeared that way. But he never really existed in human form. Well, that's not true. And you probably know out of that the Nicene Creed. They got together in 325. The church got together, the council, and they came up with this thing. We believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, his only begotten Son. The word begotten means flesh and spirit. And the church got together to write that because there were people saying, well, Jesus was never born. It was just a whole spirit thing. And so he's standing there, and this guy's preaching. And Nick gets up. He's so mad. He gets up. He walks up, and don't do this to me ever. And he walks up. He's so mad. He punches the guy in the nose, breaks his nose. Don't break the pastor's nose. And he walks away. He feels so bad for punching him in the nose. He quits the ministry. Well, Nick, when he was a little boy, his mom and dad died, and he was raised in an orphanage, but his mom and dad were wealthy, so they left him a lot of money. And Nick grew up, and he began giving that money away, and since Nick couldn't be a priest anymore, because when you punch your boss in the nose, you usually get fired. Well, he quit the ministry, and he went into opening orphanages and saving children, and you know him as Saint Nick, or Saint Nicholas. He's real. He existed, and he went around saving children, and he took money, and he paid dowries, and he opened up these places, because back around 300 A.D., orphanages went something like this. Kids were sold in workforces. If you needed a child, if you needed a slave, they came out of orphanages. To put a kid to death or beat him to death in these places was not uncommon. To starve was very common in an orphanage, because the director of the orphanage, any money or food, he took it. If there's anything left over, maybe the kids. Remember, these aren't his kids, and he could care less, and there wasn't all these government programs protecting them. It was a horrible time. Well, Nick showed up one day, and there was a father whose kids were going to be sold into slavery. He was very poor, and basically these kids were going to be orphaned. The father couldn't take care of them. These three girls were about to be sold as prostitutes. Nick heard about it, and he took three giant nuggets of gold, stuck them into stockings, and tossed them through the windows to pay a dowry so the father didn't have to sell his girls into prostitution. And that's the story of the orange. It's a reminder. The Germans began doing this a long time ago as a tradition. They lost the story. They kept the tradition. And the tradition is this, that we have a king who loves us. And so when the one king bowed down and offered his gold to the baby Jesus, he offered gold to say this, "We know that you are a king and you will be a great king." My daughter said to me, "Why do we have a president?" And I ask myself that question sometimes. She says, "Why don't we have a king?" And I said, "Well, because kings can be corrupt, and they're dictators, and they can do evil things." She said, "If Jesus were our king, he would be a good king." And I said, "Baby, you got that right. Jesus is a good king, and he does good things." And that's why when they bowed down and they offered that to him, and I say this Christmas, put an orange in your stocking and remind yourself of this, that it is our God who, when you were sold into slavery and sin, it is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who came and he paid your ransom and he saved you. You need to know that. Amen this morning. Give God a hand. God is so good that he's willing to give you a reminder every day that he does exceedingly and abundantly in Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I watched this passage happen over and over and over this week. It says, "Now to him, to God, to Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably." How much is that? I can't measure it. "More than you can ask." How much can I ask? Or even imagine, according to his power. "And now to him who's able to do exceedingly more." You see, my God is a king who does exceedingly more in my life than anyone could ever imagine. We didn't have any meat this year to give away for our reverse Christmas. I get a phone call, and Bernie says, "We put in for 2,400 chickens. We are hoping to get meat with our 140,000 pounds of food." Guess what? They called and said, "We don't have 2,500 frozen chickens. We have 4,000 frozen chickens." We said, "That's awesome, God. Abundantly more, because he's a king and he is here to rescue and tell people, I have so much more for you." And that's what the orange represents, that our God is a God of more. He's a king and he's a good king. He knows how to take care of his kingdom. And I like living in his kingdom instead of this kingdom. I like living in faith instead of doubt. I like living under grace instead of conviction. I love living under freedom instead of bondage. And he came to set me free. He tossed through my window 30 years ago salvation. And you know what? My kids are getting an orange this year. Because God saves. You know what? What are you going to do with 4,000 chickens? We didn't have 4,000 a place to put 4,000 frozen things. Somebody made a phone call to Gordon's Food, said, "We could use one of your giant trucks, freezer trucks." They said, "Well, it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get a hold of our corporate office to even get on a waiting list for them to even look at your request." And in 2 days, they called us back and said, "You'll have a truck tomorrow. And thank you. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing." On and on and on and on. I'm telling you, folks, story after story after story. The newspaper called me up the other day, and they said, "Why are people coming out to reverse Christmas?" I said, "Are you kidding me? Where do I start?" She goes, "Start at the beginning." I said, "Okay." There were two teenagers. She was knocked up and going to have a kid. He wasn't the father. They came into this town called Bethlehem. And she said, "Not that far back. You asked me how it started. And I'm going to tell you, that's how it started. Jesus Christ was born on the earth, split time in half, is the Savior of the world, and he is here to let you know he knows how to take care of his kingdom. And folks, if you get a hold of God, he will get a hold of you. He knows you. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to find your own king. I want you to know the richness of his grace. He is a good king. I looked for, this is what I call my everything box. Everything I've ever wanted, I found in Christ. I wanted a king who would save me. I wanted to know in this world I was valuable. I wanted to know there was someone that would be willing to fight, slay dragons, storm castles, and set me free. I was a prisoner in this world to sin, and Christ came and set me free. And I've been free for 30 years. He paid my ransom. I like oranges. Another king came and he bowed down. And he brought incense. I love candles. Oh, this one has such a wonderful scent. It does. I love candles. You know who loves candles even more than you and I? Is God. Do you know he used to tell the priest, light candles, light incense. That's what incense are for. When this magi bows down to this baby and gives him incense, why? Because you will be a priest forever. You see, the priest would light a candle. See, the priest would light a candle, and then the aroma. And by the way, God invented the first candles. Do you know that in the book of Deuteronomy, there is a formula for making candles, incense, and it is specific of the spices that are to be used. And God says, if you don't use it just right, I'll kill you. Yeah, thank goodness for a change in the priesthood. And he said, when you light that candle, may you be a fragrance and an aroma to me. Oh, I love that smell. And it says, if it's pleasing to God, so you see what the priest would do is, on behalf of you, I would light these candles. And if God was pleased with it, he'd bring his presence down here this morning. And you know what? It was called the Shekinah glory of God. It's a Hebrew word, the Shekinah. It meant the cloud of God. You see, he came in a cloud because he would envelop a room. You couldn't see him, but he'd bring the Shekinah presence of God. And if you got into that presence, you were with God. Oh, you talk about getting goosebumps. You talk about being in God's presence. In fact, if you were sick, you were healed. If you were in sin, you found grace. Talk about a cloud I want to get into. And the shofar, the disciples, or the people of God, the Levites, would blow their shofars, and all the people in the villages would hear the shofar, the trumpet being blown. And they, what happened is, when they pleased God, and God said, that's pleasing to me, he'd bring down his Shekinah glory, and people would want to get there. So they'd blow the trumpet, come on, God's here today. God's here today. Oh, we got to get there if God's there. How many of you came to church today thinking, I hope God's there today? And as a priest, the Bible says, they gave to Jesus incense. You will be a priest forever. You will bring the presence of God to us today, tomorrow, the next day. I don't have to blow a trumpet, folks. God's with you every day. You see, that's the word Emmanuel. It means God with us. Everything I've ever wanted, I just wanted to know that God would never leave me. And Jesus reminds me. See, this is the everything box. And then finally, a king came up and he laid the last gift. Remember what the last gift was? It was myrrh. That's a strange gift. And so in my everything box, I brought along some myrrh. Yes, those are shrunken heads. All packed in a preservative like a myrrh. Because that's what myrrh is for. It's for preserving dead things. That is a strange gift. Your first question is probably not, why did you bring that to church? But one, why do you have that? Well, Grandpa and Grandma and Uncle Jeb, you say that's sick. What do you think Mary and Joseph were thinking when they're going, oh, gold, very nice. Well, thank you. Incense, very nice, thank you. Really? You brought our baby some packing death spices. Thanks. Why? Why? And here's why. Because everything I've ever wanted is this. Everything that I've ever wanted, everything that you've ever wanted, I guess I'm done. Everything you've ever wanted is found in Jesus Christ. I got a phone call this morning, and the pastor at Hillside, I've known him for several years. Last night was his last night on earth. Last night was his last moment on this planet. And you know, when I go to the hospital, people say, please pray. People come to the altar, please pray. Pray for what? That I might be healed. Why? I really don't want to die. Nobody wants to face death. I don't want to think about it. The idea of someone taking my body, putting it in a box, and putting it underground. What am I going to do forever in that underground? Where will I go? What will happen to me? Death, what a horrible thing. How am I going to die? Is cancer going to ravage my body? Will I get Lou Gehrig's disease? Will I get trapped where I can't even breathe anymore and move anything but blink? Will I die in a car accident? Will I fall asleep? What will happen? And death is that horrible, horrible thing. And when that king bowed down, it was everything I ever wanted. And what's that? We're going to pack you in some preservatives. I mean, years ago, I heard this story, and it's true. The great slugger, Ted Williams, great baseball Hall of Famer. When he died, he left a request for his son. Said, listen, I want you to take my head when I'm dead, just my head. And I want you to cryostasis, put it into freezing, and I want you to preserve me. And that's his head today is in a cryostasis form, being preserved for a lot of years. Because he said, just in case they ever invent some kind of miracle where they can attach my head to a body and I can live again. I don't want to die. Can I let you know something, folks? You don't have to pack your bodies into anything. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died. He conquered death after 3 days. They packed him in that burial myrrh because the king knew that this is one who's going to die so you and I don't have to die. Everything I've ever wanted, and here it is. God has provided it through Jesus Christ. I don't have to die. That's the best news I've ever heard. You say, but you're going to die. Look what Jesus said to Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. Jesus said to Mary and Martha about their brother Lazarus, who was dead. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live, even though he dies. So folks, Jesus Christ, those gifts, everything I've ever needed. Jesus has always been everything I've ever needed. I asked him for some water and he gave me an ocean. I asked him for a flower, he'll give you a garden. You ask him for a home, he'll give you a church. You ask him for a house, you'll get a mansion. You ask him for forgiveness, he'll give you his son, Jesus Christ. You ask for eternal life, he'll give that to you too. Jesus Christ is everything. He's everything I've ever wanted. This is the everything box today. You need to come back next week for the nothing box. But today, this is my everything box. Everything I've ever wanted. I've wanted a king, a priest, and a prophet. I'm going to ask Rick to come up right now and close the service this way. Is Jesus everything to you this morning? Have you given your life and your trust to him? Can you find everything you've ever needed? For 4,500 years, with 45 different authors, in multiple different languages, different time frames and different nations, men put together the Word of God. God inspired them to write the Holy Word of God. It all, from beginning to end, has one story. We can't even get two people at family reunions to agree together on certain things. Did you see what happened? Yeah, it was a 6-point buck. Oh, I think it was 7. No, maybe it was 9. He was running. He was walking. I shot him on the run. He was lying down. I hit him with my car. No, I shot him. You can't even get two people to agree on stuff. 45 people, 66 books, 4,500 years, multiple language. It's perfect, without error. There's not a single mark in this thing. Over the thousands of years, it's been tested, and trust me, there's never been a book that's been more meticulously looked at. And the story says one thing. Jesus is everything you've ever needed. In the book of Genesis, he was the seed of a woman. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. And in Deuteronomy, he's my prophet. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Joshua, he's the captain of my salvation. In Judges, he's my lawgiver and judge. In Ruth, he's my kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's my trusted prophet. In Ezra, he's my faithful scribe. And in Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's my Mordecai. In Job, he's my dayspring from on high. In the Psalms, he's the Lord, our shepherd. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover of the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's my Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. And in Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. And in Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. And in Amos, he's my burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's mighty to save. In Jonah, he's my great missionary. And in Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist. Zephaniah, he's my savior. In Haggai, he's my restorer. In Zechariah, he is my fountain that never runs dry. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. Matthew said, he's my Messiah. Mark said, he's my wonderful maker. In Luke, he said, he is the son of God. And John said, he is the son of man. In the book of Acts, he's the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he's my justifier. And in Corinthians, he's my sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the unsearchable riches of Christ. Philippians says, he is my God who supplies all of my needs. And in Colossians, he's the Godhead, three in one. Timothy says, he's my mediator between God and man. Thessalonians says, he's my soon and coming king. And Titus calls us him the faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the faithful, the blood of the everlasting covenant. And his half-brother James says, he is the great physician who heals me. In 1 Peter and in 2 Peter, he's the good shepherd who shall soon appear with a crown of glory. And in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's the everlasting love. And in Jude, he is the coming Lord with 10,000 saints at his side. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the King of all. That's who he is. He is everything. He's everything you've ever needed. And this morning, I just invite you. I invite you to let God redeem your life, because what's inside is richer and better than anything you've ever tasted. And the Old Testament says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So this morning I'm going to invite you. I didn't do this in first service, and someone came up to me, and there was a gentleman, it was his first time in church today. He said, I want to give my life to God today. Can I do that? And we came right up here to this altar, and with tears in his eyes, this man gave his life to Christ, to trust in him. He said, years ago, I came to God, but over the years, things have been pretty good, so I just forgot about him. See, he wasn't even, I got bad, I did bad things. He said, I just took him for granted. And I just forgot all about who God was in my life. And just with tears in his eyes, we knelt down here, and there are tears of salvation in the carpet here this morning. Because God is better than anything. He's everything. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, just to bow your heads and pray with me. And maybe that's you this morning. I don't know. Maybe this morning you want to reach in and take hold of salvation and say a prayer with me. Maybe you'd like to pray this prayer and say, God, today I want to give you my life. I want to trust you. So today, I surrender. Will you be my Savior? Forgive me of my sins and set me free. I believe and I accept you as my Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder today if that's you and you gave your life to Christ today. Maybe you just had forgotten about him. Things have been so good, you just let him go. And today, you're giving your life to him to say, today's a new start. Or maybe you've never given your life to Christ, and today you did that. If you would let me know, would you just write where you're at with nobody looking around? Would you just slip your hand up so I know you prayed that prayer with me? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Many all around. Yes. You can go ahead and put those hands down. Praise God. Bless you. Father in heaven, for those that gave their life to Christ, I pray that they would find the sweetness of who you are, that today you would do miracles in their lives. Oh God, I pray, like biting into this orange, they would find the richness to know how good you are. Thank you for their faith. Will you reward their faith? The dozen or so that today said, yes, Jesus. We give you all praise. We give all glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand and